Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today I am happy to be interviewing Jeff Mueller, the newly appointed president and CEO of Special Olympics Indiana. How did he become interested in Special Olympics Indiana? What are his thoughts for the future of Special Olympics Indiana moving forward? This and so much more we want to ask him. Jeff Mueller is here with me in the studio today. Hello, Jeff.
How are you? I've never been on a podcast before.
Oh, so. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here. So let's talk about what Special Olympics really means to you, the impact it really has on you, and talk about that in this position now.
Well, I certainly have a different view of the organization now that I've been named by our board of directors as the president and CEO. I think early on I was all about programs, sports, the things that we're doing for health and fitness, the things that we're doing within Indiana schools, K through 12. But now in this role, I see it as just much broader. And I think the thing that enlightened me the most was that for Special Olympics internationally, globally, mm-hmm. it's our 50th anniversary this July. And in conjunction with that, Simon & Schuster has a new book coming out. It's a biography of Eunice Kennedy Shriver, our founder. And within that, their premise of the book is that Eunice, her view and her actions have had a lasting impact more so than any of her brothers. That's including President Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And it says that she's led one of the greatest civil rights movements of our time. And that's to impact and better the lives of individuals with intellectual disabilities. So while Mrs. Shriver first started off and focused on sports, it was her vision was that sports would be the avenue in which we could become a civil rights movement.
Sure.
For our athletes, for those people who are called to serve. And so it really didn't dawn on me until you start having the much broader viewpoint that I have to have as the president and CEO for Special Olympics, that Special Olympics, whether here in Indiana or globally, we're much more than sports.
Sure.
Again, like she saw it, we're a civil rights movement.
And let's talk about how that broadness of your mission has affected you. Because when you were in college studying nonprofit management, you interned for Special Olympics. So tell me about what that internship taught you back then and now for your career now.
Well, Michelle, if I can even go further back than
yes,
that.
Sure.
When I was in middle school and high school, you're not going to know this based on the podcast, but you can see this from me sitting here across the table. I'm not very tall. I'm 5'7". And when I was in high school, I think my first driver's license, I was 105 pounds.
Oh.
And so if you looked at me within the athletic realm, I didn't have much to offer.
Sure.
But I found myself, and I found out who I was more through long distance running, through cross country and track and field at high school, and then later on in college. I found out the power of what sports can do for me as an individual, and in some ways, I'm trying to give back.
Sure.
I learned so much about myself through sports, and I want to be able to help those who are our athletes here in Indiana be able to do this very same thing. Some people find themselves through academics. Others find themselves through music mm-hmm. or art or anything like that.
Sure.
And some of us find ourselves through sports. And I'm one of those people, and I'm trying to just give back in a certain way. So when I was at Indiana University, I was studying nonprofit management through the School of Public Environmental Affairs. I had to do a summer internship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turned out that I could either do that or I could write a 100-page thesis paper.
Hey.
And for me, it was no question what I wanted to do that summer.
Sure.
I'd rather do hands-on experience than
sure.
write all summer long.
Sure.
So I was sitting in the dorm room at Indiana University in Bloomington, and I saw this news article a news story
mm-hmm.
through the local TV station about Special Olympics. It was in January of 1997. That I saw the story of Special Olympics at Winter Games in Paoli down in Orange
mm-hmm.
County. And I decided that it was two things that I appreciated the most, people with disabilities and sports kind of merging together. And I thought, well, if I could somehow be able to work with them over the summer, it'd be a great summer. And so then I contacted Dennis Schmidt, who was at that time the president and CEO for Special Olympics, and became one of the early college interns for the organization. So I've been part of the organization since 1997.
That's wonderful. And so let's talk about how that, I mean, you said you were trying to find yourself. As a high school student, I mean, what did that experience teach you about giving back to people and really having an impact on them?
Well, for me, and I think it still applies to a large number, unfortunately too many middle school and high school students, I think the loneliest times of the school day tend to be during the lunch hour, mm-hmm. walking the hallways between classes, and then sometimes immediately after school. Mm-hmm. You just find yourself without friends, and you're looking around for what is going to connect you to the student body as a whole. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was sports. Like I said, though, there's different avenues for different students depending upon their preferences, music and art and those types of things. For me, it was just sports. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what's called me to be part of Special Olympics. And it's really what's helped me to be able to find, even as I'm 46 now, and I still continue to learn about myself through sports and through Special Olympics that I never would have had the opportunity to do so if it weren't for that experience with Dennis back in 1997.
And let's talk about that. That's one of the things that impressed me the most was Champions Together. I mean, I've been to the Summer Olympic Games too, but you're catching high school students at a time when they haven't really become set in their ways. They're trying to make their mark in the world. So talk about that. You had a huge role in establishing this program to raise funds to keep Special Olympics going. So talk about that and the impact of that on high school athletes.
Well, I appreciate that you said I had a huge role. I don't want to exaggerate my role. I think I was one person in the midst of many who had to be part of this whole coming together of Champions Together. And I played one piece of it. Champions Together is our partnership with the Indiana High School Athletic Association. It's where Special Olympics in some ways is helping the IHSA and its mm-hmm. member schools to find ways in which to include students with intellectual disabilities. Mm-hmm. There's a large number of students who are sitting on the sidelines who want to be part of the game, and they just have never been able to find their place within the athletic department of their schools. I've known Bobby Cox since I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. I ran cross country at one middle school, and he was the coach of our still within the same school district, but he was the cross-country coach of our rival. And I've known Bobby since then, since mid-1980s. And I've always had this idea that Special Olympics and the IHSA should do things together. But in order to be a true partnership, we couldn't just ask the IHSA to do things for us. We had to ask them to do things with us. Mm-hmm. And there's a prepositional change there,
sure.
For to with. And that's dynamic. And once we had this idea of Champions Together, once we had the concept of unified track and field, then we felt more comfortable that we can go to Commissioner Cox, who had progressed from middle school cross-country coach through high school athletic director, through assistant commissioner, and all the way up to commissioner of the Indiana High School Athletic Association. At that point in time, the stars aligned. Mm-hmm. And it was just perfect timing for us to go to him and say, Commissioner Cox, here's our thought. Mm-hmm. Let's play together. Let's compete together. Let's do things together. And through that, you know, Mike Furnish came up with that whole idea of, let's call it, Mike being my immediate predecessor as the Special Olympics president and CEO. Mike came up with that whole title of Champions Together. We identify champions, the IHSA identifies champions, mm-hmm. and we're going to identify champions together now. And it's taken off. So this is our fifth year of doing it. We've grown from 13 schools who did unified track and field in the original inaugural year. Mm-hmm. I tend to call them the 13 original colonies. And it's grown to 111 high schools now mm-hmm. are competing in unified track and field. That would be over 25% of the IHSA member schools are participating in unified track. Now, that's one aspect of everything that we do in track and field. Within Champions Together, there's so much more that we do. And if you start adding in K through 12, mm-hmm. elementary schools and middle schools, last school year, we were with Champions Together, Unified Champion Schools, we were in over 470 schools across the state wow. doing something on behalf of their students with intellectual disabilities.
Sure. That's amazing. Let's talk about one of the things that everyone loves every summer is the summer games. Mm-hmm. So talk about what's in store for athletes and volunteers and families this year.
Well, we're back again at Indiana State University and Rose Holman Institute of Technology in Terre Haute. We're back for, this is our 49th anniversary of Special Olympics Indiana. So we are prepared to do the 8 sports that we have and championships there that weekend. We do bocce and bowling, mm-hmm. cycling and horseshoes, powerlifting and swimming, track and field and volleyball. And we'll be competing on both campuses as well as various Terre Haute venues in those mm-hmm. 8 sports. And it's June 8, 9, and 10. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's our largest event that we do, and we anticipate our entries start coming in very soon, a week from Monday. But we certainly anticipate to have a record crowd with us again.
People get excited, don't they?
Yeah, we had we had nearly 2,750 people competing, mm-hmm. and that doesn't count the coaches and event volunteers. In all, it's about an event that takes about 5,500 people to put on, whether athlete, unified partner, coaches, or event volunteers. It's the sure. hugest thing that we do, and I'm pretty sure it's probably the biggest thing that Terre Haute does each year as well.
Probably. And let's talk, the point that you were talking about earlier, that you would rather have people do something with you than for you. And mm-hmm. that kind of is what Summer Games brings together too. When you think about what the impact of, I mean, when you feel that atmosphere at Summer Games, what's that like for you? I mean, I know what it feels like for me, and I was blown away by everything that goes on and the smiling faces and, oh my goodness, we're so excited to be here. But for you being a CEO and someone who champions this organization so much, what does it do for you?
Well, it rejuvenates the spirit. It's one of those things that for us on staff, pretty much once we hit April, it's the only thing that we're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And once we hit May, it's the only thing that we're breathing and thinking and dreaming and in some ways worried about this Summer mm-hmm. Games. It's such a huge undertaking for our staff. We have less than 20 full-time staff members who put this on. It relies upon thousands of volunteers to put it on. It relies upon nearly 1,000 coaches who put in so many nights of the week to get their athletes ready for those games. Once we get those games, I'll be honest with you, the Thursday before the games start, I'm exhausted.
I bet you are.
From everything that has to take place. But once the athletes start arriving that Thursday night, once the games begin that Friday morning, mm-hmm. it's a rejuvenation of the spirit to sure. realize what you've been called to do. It's kind of in many ways just the, it tells you that I myself have meaning, mm-hmm. that I've been called to help people, mm-hmm. But in many ways, those people that I think that I've been called to help are in turn helping me. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who I would be without Special Olympics, and I dare not think about it because I'm not sure that I would like who I would be. Summer Games is that annual time where we rejoice in what who we are as an organization, and we rejoice in who we are as individuals. And that's what Special Olympics is, and especially Summer Games, is about for me.
Sure. I love those expressions. Thank you for that. So every year, I mean, this is 50 years in coming up here, right?
50 as an international organization. In June of 2019, Special Olympics Indiana will celebrate its 50th anniversary.
So what do you see as the future? I mean, you every year you kind of reinvent yourself. So, and that's a good thing. So what do you see as the future?
I think the future for us is threefold, I see. And a lot of this has been set forth by Mike. Mike and I worked together hand in hand. I was his right-hand man for 11 years. And so I really think that we continue the legacy that Mike set forth. So that sure. is, we've already talked about Champions Together in our school program. We continue to do that. We continue to expand what that's about. We have a health program, health and fitness. Yes. In which we, last Summer Games, had over 4,000 health screenings done for our athletes in six different disciplines, from eye exams to hearing exams to dental exams to flexibility, mobility, to podiatry and all those things. You know, in fact, Michelle, last year we realized that 53% of our athletes who came to Summer Games are wearing the wrong size shoe.
Wow.
That's defined as two sizes too big or two sizes too small.
Okay.
And we can sit there and say, good luck with that. But we've also chosen then to step forward with the help of the Arc of Indiana, with the help of other partners, to say we're going to do something about this.
Sure.
Last summer, our corporate partners, the Finish Line, heard about the dynamics of our athletes wearing wrong size shoes, mm-hmm. usually because of economics. And the Finish Line came forward and said, we're going to do something about this.
I love that.
And they gave away over 1,500 pairs of free shoes to our athletes. That, as far as a market value, was a donation of over $100,000.
Wow.
You can't compare that
sure.
to most anything, because the Finish Line saw a need and they decided to do something about that. So health and fitness for our athletes, we need to continue to strive to help our athletes become healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Choose healthier lifestyles, whether it's giving up smoking, whether it's choosing water over pop, whether it's just portion control when it yeah. comes to eating. And most importantly, just getting out there and being physically active.
Sure.
We got to continue those both of those things, schools, health and fitness. But in order to do that, it has to be about our athlete leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great athlete leadership program, and it's got to be those athletes who step forward and start directing this organization. They need to stop thinking that they have to wait for an invitation to join us at the discussion table,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to ask anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, they're the ones who should be inviting me and others to join them in the discussion table. I think I heard this once, and I'm not sure, I wish I could credit it, because it's such a powerful statement, and I can't remember where I saw it, but the motto has to be, for our athlete leaders, it has to be, nothing about us without us. And that's what they have to live. That should be their mantra, that we shouldn't do anything as an organization unless they have a full say,
mm-hmm.
their opinions are heard. And not only that their opinions are heard, that in essence, they're the ones who are telling us what we need to do next. So it's got to be about health and fitness for us. It's got to be about schools, and it's got to be about athlete leadership if we're going to do anything in the next 50 years of this organization and make a difference.
You know, and I was thinking, before I was ever introduced to Special Olympics, it was in this job. It was the first on-the-road podcast I had ever done. And just I had no idea the impact this organization has. I mean, it was amazing on me. I left so uplifted. So if someone like me, who has not heard about Special Olympics, is hearing this right now and saying, oh, I want to know more, what do you tell them about why the benefits of the organization and why they should be involved.
Well, I think in many ways you start to see through Special Olympics, you see the value and goodness in everybody. And I think in many ways that if you can see the value and goodness of somebody with an intellectual disability, mm-hmm. somebody who society in general would target as a nobody, mm-hmm. a person without value. Mm-hmm. And if you can see that value in them in a large number, in so many different ways, it's easier for us to see value and goodness in ourselves. And I think that there's so many of our volunteers who are looking for that answer for themselves. I was once, when I was searching out, trying to find myself in 1997, and when I came across Dennis Schmidt, Special Olympics, Mike Furnish, I kind of lived under this idea that I can't help others unless I help myself first. Mm-hmm. And I think too many people live by that. And I don't think that's the right thing to mm-hmm. do. I think I help myself by first helping others. Mm-hmm. And I think if you do that, if you take that idea and say, I'm going to serve others, and then by that, I'm going to find myself. I'm going to find out who I am. I'm going to find the value of myself. I'm going to find the goodness in myself. I don't think that there's anything more powerful that Special Olympics can offer somebody else. And I'm not talking about whether you've been labeled with an intellectual disability or not. I'm talking about anybody and everybody, I think, can find their value by participating with us in Special Olympics.
Well, Jeff, I have only known you for this amount of time, but I think you and I are going to become friends. Thank you so very much for coming and telling me about Special Olympics and telling everyone, all my audience as well. And I wish you all the best in this position. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you, Michelle. I really appreciate the opportunity to meet you and to talk to your audience, and I look forward to further and future conversations.
I will invite you back for sure. I will invite you back for sure. You're welcome. And to learn more about Special Olympics Indiana, visit soindiana.org, and be sure to follow A View From My Window on Facebook by searching A View From My Window with Michelle Fisher. Have a great day today, everybody. Bye-bye.